We are so grateful today to be honoring mothers. We're going to take you on a survey this morning of some biblical moms, find out from their life how we can honor mothers. If you're a mom this morning, you should say, "Oh, not woe is me. Woe is me, I'm a mom." You don't know how many burdens I bear, how many diapers I have to change, how many dishes I have to wash, how many rooms I have to clean. You don't know. No, no, no. You should say, "Oh, the wonder of God displaying His glory and blessing upon me to be privileged in such a way as to be called a mom, a mother." Now, I know, ladies, if we're honest this morning, there's one passage that you're probably fearful of me going to. Those of you who know the word. And that is, yes, I'm going to say it, Proverbs chapter 31. Oh, you had to go there, didn't you? Yes, I had to go there. You know, there's something special about moms and of all generations. And we may not like this passage because the biblical writer sets the bar very high in Proverbs 31, doesn't he? A wife of noble character who can find, she is worth far more than rubies. All the ladies would say amen to that. That's true. Verse 11 says, "Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value." And all the ladies would say, "Yes, I pray that that is true." And then she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And then the writer goes into this role of a godly wife, of a godly mom that sets the bar high. And we say, as we read that scripture, there is no way on God's green planet that I can reach that mark. And you're absolutely right. And that's okay. But guess what? Guess who can make you perfect? Who can make you strong in times of weakness? Who can give you wisdom when you feel you have none? He can give you energy when you feel worn out. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and He loves you, ladies and men. He loves you with an everlasting, eternal love. And we're going to discover that this morning. Moms, they're pretty special. I'm thankful for my mom, grateful for her in many ways, and just am thrilled in many ways to have learned from her example. She loved the Lord with all her heart, mind, soul, and strength. I remember seeing as a little kid her just reading the Bible on different occasions at different times. She didn't say, "Hey, look at me, I'm reading the Bible." She just went. And I would just run around trying to play and see her looking at this book and curious what book it was. And it was the Bible. When we go through Scripture this morning, there's a bunch. Let's just survey them real quick. Exodus 20, verse 12. "Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you." Exodus 21:15, "Anyone who attacks their father or mother is to be put to death." Wow. Leviticus 19:3, "Each of you must respect your mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." Deuteronomy 5:16, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Proverbs 1:8, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Matthew 15:4, these are the words from Jesus himself saying, "For God commanded, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die." Interesting, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. We know this passage well, right? "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So we come this morning to ask the question, as we've done a quick survey of these verses, what does it mean to honor our mothers? How do we show our mother respect? How do we not forsake their teachings? How can we not be one of those children who end up reviling our moms and dads and therefore should be put to death? It's a hard word in many ways, because today the family unit is fractured. Relationships suffer. There are single parents. There are children without mothers or fathers. And we seem the world has just done everything it can to minimize the importance of what it means to be a godly parent, a godly spouse, a godly child. Matthew Henry said this, "Honor thy father and mother," which honor implies reverence, obedience, relief, and maintenance, if these be needed. So in honoring, according to Matthew Henry, that when we honor our father and our mother, we are giving reverence to our moms and dads, we're giving obedience to them, we're giving them relief. Wow. And maintenance. Now, some of us who are kids and who have older parents may say, yeah, they need a lot of maintenance. Well, guess what? When you were growing up, you needed a lot of maintenance as well, didn't you? So we are going to look together this morning at what does it mean to honor your mother, and how do we show our mother's respect, and how do we not forsake their teaching? We honor God by honoring mothers. We honor God by honoring fathers. We honor God by showing them respect, by not cursing them or reviling them. We listen to their instructions, and we do not forsake their teachings. We look, we listen, and we learn. We look, and we listen, and we learn from their examples that is set before us. We're so busy today that we don't take time to look at the godly examples before us. We're so much in a hurry, thinking our own thoughts, trying to do our own thing, trying to survive in this crazy, chaotic world, that we don't listen when godly advice is given to us. And we definitely don't learn because we're consumed with ourselves, thinking, hey, I know it all. You know that age when you come out of elementary school and you become a middle schooler and you think you know better than mom and dad? No, you've never thought that, have you? I'm not going to do it this way when I get older. I know better than mom and dad. Somehow in our society, we don't seem to have grown out of that idea. We've lost the art of learning from the godly examples that God has given us. And so we're going to look at that this morning. The first godly mother in the Bible, in order to answer some of these questions this morning, is Eve. Eve, yes, Eve. Eve was known as the mother of all living. Guess what? If there was no Eve, there'd be no you or me. Eve. Eve. In Genesis 3:20, it says, the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Chapter 1, verse 27 of Genesis says that he created them, male and female. He created them. We are created beings fashioned with the image of God. Men, you are made in the image of God. Ladies, you are made in the image of God. And Eve is the mother of all living. Yes, but you don't know what she did. She caused sin to come in the world. No, the biblical writer says Adam caused sin. Eve was deceived, yes. Eve disobeyed, yes. But so did Adam. Adam was deceived. Adam disobeyed. And God in his mercy sent them out of the garden to try to teach them to discover his amazing grace all the days of their lives. Eve, when she conceived, in chapter 4, verse 1 of Genesis, she gave birth to her firstborn, right? She called him Cain. She says, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And then she bore his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. And later she gave birth to Seth. Eve. We diminish her role, but we shouldn't, because God had placed her in a unique role for all of creation. We can learn from her example. When Eve was found out, when she was brought before God and Adam and Eve were there and God was talking to them in the garden, if you could put yourself in Eve's position, what do you think Eve was saying or thinking at that moment? Eve. I think she desired deep inwardly, even though rebellion was in her life, and Adam, rebellion was in his life, sin was in their life. I believe they longed for an intimate relationship with God that was continual. And they realized that when they were placed outside the garden. The second wife and mom is Sarah, the wife of Abraham, the mother of Isaac. In Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 and 16, it says, God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. She will be what? The mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Next couple of verses there for Sarah. You recall when the angel of the Lord came, and it was the Lord himself that was there and met Abraham at the tent. And Abraham was so excited because it was the Lord. And he went to Sarah and he says, the Lord is coming. And so we got to get things right. And they hurried up and did kamikaze cleaning in the tent. And so they cleaned the tent up. They got the victuals on, the pot and the stew and everything to serve their guests. And Sarah was standing outside the tent listening to the conversation. You call that? And God said, I'm going to bless you. This time next year, Sarah's going to have a son. Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God said, but no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. And they went on and discussed all that. And he said, I will establish my covenant with Isaac, in verse 21 of chapter 17 of Genesis, whom shall Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. You know, Sarah was listening outside the tent. And as she was listening, you know the story. What'd she do? She said, oh, I can hardly wait. I'm so excited. Something good is going to happen to me. Did she say that? No, she laughed, right? She said, laughed. She was listening outside the tent. In chapter 18, verse 12, she says, so Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Genesis 18, 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, many times we in our walk with God, we don't come before him with that need that's deep within our heart because we believe that this is too difficult for God to handle. It's too hard. There's just no way on God's green planet that he can answer this need. God says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At this appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Then we see Sarah denied it. I did not laugh because she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did. And then chapter 21, the Lord visited Sarah, and as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promise. She conceived, and of course, we know she gave birth to a son. In chapter 21, verse 5 and 6, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Think about that. And chapter, verse 6, and Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. Wow. Sarah, keep in mind, the next survey of moms is Ruth, the daughter-in-law of Naomi, the mother of Obed. Now you might say, well, who in the world is Obed? Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David, King David. And here in these verses this morning, it says that chapter 4 of Ruth, verse 13 and 14 says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. The whole story of Ruth and her commitment to her mother-in-law and Naomi's commitment to her daughter-in-law is a wonderful example of God's grace in their life. God wanted to teach Naomi that God had not forgotten her. God wanted to teach Ruth that God will provide for her. It's a beautiful love story, and I encourage you to read all those chapters There's so much there. We don't have time this morning for that. But God met them in a special, special way. Naomi rejoiced in God's answer to prayer. Ruth rejoiced in God's answer to prayer. And it was a testimony to all the neighborhood when they gave him the name Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. The next mom is Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Chapter 1 of 1 Samuel gives that story to us. I'm sure you're familiar with that, Hannah was married and her husband had two wives. She was one of the two wives. And she was barren, didn't have any children. And year after year, she longed to have a child. You were fulfilled and accepted and highly respected if you, as a woman who was married, gave birth to a child. If you did not give birth to a child, you were second class. You were unfit. There was something wrong with you. Hannah always longed for that. That was a deep desire of her heart. Her husband even tried to console her, gave her double portions of food and tried to bless her, and even said to her, "Aren't I worth more to you than 10 sons?" "You don't understand, dear." In chapter 1, verses 10 through 25, verse 20 says, "So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, 'Because I asked the Lord for him.'" The story goes that when they'd finished eating and drinking, she went up into the temple, and as she was there, the priest was sitting on a chair, and in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." She gives to the Lord a prayer out of utter desperation of her heart, of her deep need, longing to be met, and only God could meet that need. And she gives a commitment to God, "I will give him back to you. I will sacrifice being a mom if you just answer this prayer, and I will raise him up under the Nazarite vow." And so she kept praying. Eli saw that, thought she was drunk. Can you imagine that? Her lips were moving, and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who's deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Then Eli said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked." She gave birth to Samuel and gave Samuel back to the Lord because she said, "I've asked the Lord for him." And he became a mighty priest and prophet for the Lord. Hang in there. Two more moms. Then we'll try to wrap it up here, what we're trying to do. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. What a mom. There in Luke chapter 1 and verse 13, "But the angel said to Zechariah, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John.'" Isn't it interesting to know that Zechariah was a priest serving the Lord? He's in the temple representing, and the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, "Zechariah, I've heard your prayer. I've heard Elizabeth's prayer, but I've heard your prayer, and I'm going to answer it. Your wife's going to bear you a son. You're going to name him John." And of course, we know Zechariah doubted, and then he couldn't speak. And Elizabeth thought, well, that was pretty good, those 9 months. Maybe she did, I don't know. But at the time of his birth, when they named him John, Zechariah was able to speak again. God met her. God met her. Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Could you imagine being one of the priests, and your wife is to priest's wife. She's supposed to be example of the community, and all the community are saying behind closed doors, how come she doesn't have a child? What did she do to God? What sin did they commit? No, we don't talk behind closed doors, do we? We don't talk about others, do we, when we look at them? But she was barren and faithfully serving along her husband. And it says there in Luke 1, verse 24, after these days his wife Elizabeth conceived, for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, and so on, and then gave birth. Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Wow. Elizabeth was aware of what others were saying about her. She even felt it deep within her own soul. Yet in her humility, brought that prayer before the Lord. And God was faithful and met her need. She gave birth to the preparer of the way, John the Baptist. Quite the man of God, Elizabeth. And of course, we have to mention Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary. Now, us Protestants, we get kind of a little bent out of shape sometimes when we mention the mother of Jesus. Because we're Protestants, right? Because we pray in the name of Jesus. Rightly so. But God had a unique plan for Mary. Many scholars believe she was a teenager. And God chose her, you know the story well, and came upon her. And it says there in Luke 1, 30 through 33, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. That is a huge line there. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord this morning for the godly example of Mary, because Mary also asked and said, how will this be? And the angel said, well, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And she said, may it be done to me as you've revealed. She was obedient. She was submissive to God's plan for her life. Yes, she realized what the outcome was going to be. A teenager, pregnant, out of wedlock, could lose everything. But she was trusting her reputation. She was trusting her identity. She was trusting her future to God. Wow. What a mom. So, what does that mean? What do these moms have in common? Well, they all had a significant need that needed to be met. We could take a lot of time to go through that, but they all had a need. Moms, you may have a need this morning that is significant and unique to you, and no one else knows about it, even your husband or your family. And you have a deep need, and only God is the one who can meet that need. I challenge you to give it to the Lord. For Eve, she needed that acceptance, that forgiveness, that restoration, that God still loved her and cared for her. Sarah needed that forgiveness, that ability to increase her faith, to believe God when God says something, he will do it. She needed to have joy, and she did when she gave birth to Isaac, that God gave her laughter. Ruth and Naomi, they needed family. They needed faith. They needed that security. They needed to understand God's commitment and faithfulness to them. Hannah, she needed wholeness and completeness, a sense of fulfillment. Elizabeth, She probably felt, I'm of no use anymore. I'm so old. I'm worn out. I don't know why I'm here anymore. God said, I've got a plan for you. It's going to blow your mind. And she became useful to raise John the Baptist. Mary. What did Mary? What was her significant need? Her need was to be accepted and loved. She was chosen, highly favored. She probably needed to hear that from God Almighty in that moment. So, ladies, what is the significant need in your life? I, as they say in the South, I double dog dare you to bring it to God and lay it at His feet and see what God can do for you. They all had a special role to fulfill in their family. Eve was the mother of all living. Sarah was the mother of a great nation. Ruth was part, and Naomi were the lineage of the Messiah. How wonderful that is. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, the prophet of God. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, preparer of the way. And Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, our Messiah and Savior of the world. Significant special roles. And ladies, God has given you a special role in your family. He truly has. He's placed you where you are in this world at this moment and this time. It is no accident. And God has a role for you to fulfill. To be a better mom. To be a better spouse. To be a better partner. To be a better example. To be an intercessor for your prayers. To pray for your kids. A special role. To be an example of God's love and mercy as He's expressed it to you. That you can express it to your family. They all had a special relationship with God in their journey of faith. Can you imagine seeing God in the garden? Being able to be with Him day by day? Not ashamed, and then all of a sudden it was all taken away. I think I would miss those days. There would be a deep void, and Eve needed that healing. I believe God gave her that healing, but she saw God in the garden. Sarah served the Lord alongside Abraham and looked forward to the hope that God was going to do in both of them. Ruth and Naomi knew the Lord's teachings, and through their journey of faith, saw God orchestrate and work things out, revealing the Redeemer for them, pointing to Jesus Christ, the Redeemer for you and me. Hannah prayed and worshiped God, a beautiful song. She responds to the Lord in prayer. She was a worshiper. Elizabeth served God with Zechariah, and it brought joy to the whole community when God answered her deep prayer, brought joy, it was a testimony. Mary, she found favor with God and continued to ponder things in her heart when she saw God orchestrate things out through her son, Jesus. We see that they all recognized God's blessing being poured out upon them. Eve blessed God for giving birth. Sarah laughed with joy at God's blessings. Ruth and Naomi praised and worshiped God for His blessings to them. Hannah worshiped the Lord because of answered prayer. Elizabeth humbled to be blessed by God when she met Mary there, and Mary came in, and the baby within Elizabeth leaped for joy. It was the Holy Spirit confirming that Mary was the chosen one of God to bear the Messiah. Elizabeth rejoiced in that, in her humility. Mary was humbled to be chosen and obedient to the Lord. They recognized God's blessing. When God meets you in a significant way, do you take the time to say thank you? Do you take the time to say thank you? Do you pause and say, Lord, it's because of you and your goodness to me that you have blessed me and therefore have blessed my family. Don't allow the hurriedness of our society to rob you from a moment to pause and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for blessing me. So how do we honor our mothers from their examples? It's all nice, but we can learn by applying it. We honor them by bringing our needs before the Lord. Sometimes the reason that we are struggling so much is because we believe that God is not the God of impossibilities. And just like is God said to Sarah, is nothing too difficult for me? Trust him in this. Say, Lord, okay, I'm bringing this need to you. I'm bringing this burden to you. I'm bringing this heartache to you. I'm bringing this anxiety to you. I'm bringing this illness to you. I'm bringing this condition to you. And I'm asking for you to do a miracle as only you can do. Not ma'am, only you. I'm bringing my need before you. Secondly, by giving them respect for their role in our family. We need to respect our moms and honor them, understanding our role in our family. We need that desperately today. Husbands, you need to show respect and love to your spouse. The Word of God says in Ephesians, husbands must. Husbands must love their wives as Christ loved the church. It's impossible, men, if you don't know Christ, to love your wife as Christ loves the church because you have no relationship with God, because your love tank is going to get empty and it's going to run out of love. And that is when you need the Holy Spirit's love within you to love your wife as Christ loves the church. Wives, in that Ephesians passage, it says, wives must respect their husbands. Must. Ladies, when you lose respect for your husbands, you are to respect them as one who is respecting the Lord. You need the Lord Jesus Christ and your relationship with him, because there are moments in your relationship with your spouse that you just lose respect for your husband. Not me. Oh, yeah, I think so. We need Christ's spirit within us to love like he loves, to give respect like he gives respect. We need that energizing Holy Spirit power in order to make the relationship work so that we can raise our children in the admonition and the teachings of the Lord, so that they will respond in obedience and have the promise of living a long life. And I can go on about that. Sorry, I move on. We honor them by having a relationship with God, knowing God personally, the godly examples. Yes, our moms are not perfect, but oh, do we see their love for Christ? Well, you don't know about my mom. She never knew the Lord. Well, then it's time for you, ladies, to know Christ and begin a godly heritage that will lead to a legacy of spiritual fruit. Have that relationship with God. He will meet you in your time of need. I double dog dare you to bring your significant need to him. To humbly recognize then God's blessings being poured out through them to us. We need to pause and say, Lord, thank you because of my mom. We always say, well, because of my mom, I'm this way, right? Because of my mom, I leave coffee cups around the house, sometimes half filled. Because that's what my mom did. Because of my mom, she would always have a piece of dessert with her coffee. I liked that too. But also because of my mom, she had a great, great optimism, believing that God could work in people's hearts and lives in a miraculous way. And she would never give up on them. Not because humanity was so special, but she knew the God who created them in his image was special. And if only we would press in to him, would our lives become more significant and honoring to one another and to God. I learned that. We need to look, we need to listen, and we need to learn from their examples. So what does God's word say to you and me this morning? And how will we respond to him today? We're going to have a word of prayer and have a closing song. At the end of the closing song, ladies, we have a gift for you, carnation. So trust that you'll get one because we're honoring you today. But I do ask that you will take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart. And be brave and courageous. And come before the Lord and say, God, here's my need. And it doesn't have to be as big as being without child. It can be just a small, insignificant need in your brain. But to you, it's big. It's huge. I encourage you to lay it at the Savior's feet and trust the God who specializes in impossibilities and ask him for his will to be done through that need to be glorified and honored. Let's pray. Father, our hearts have been warmed and challenged because of the examples that you've set before us in your word of these biblical moms. Sometimes they did great acts of obedience and we marvel at that. Sometimes they messed up and we ridicule them or say, it's not me, I'm not going to be that way. But in all truthfulness, Lord, we are just as frail, just as weak, just as rebellious, just as disobedient, just as doubting. Sometimes we lack the faith to even come to you, Lord God, who knows everything about us with our burdens, our needs, our heartaches. Forgive us. You are the author of life, creator of all, who made man in his likeness and image. So, Lord, help us to bring before you now, in this moment, that prayer request, that burden, that heartache, that illness, that desire, that dream, that hope. And, Father, as you answered prayer for these ladies that we've looked at from your word, I know you can do it again. And I pray that you will do something supernatural, something spectacular, something significant, something that will cause the whole community to rejoice in you. Because you, Lord God, are the way, the truth, and the life. And so we thank you today. Thank you for being our Redeemer. Thank you for blessing us so with our moms. May we in turn be a blessing to others. This we pray in Jesus' name.